are joined in this second hour of the Political Power Hour by Annex Wealth Management Chief Economist Brian Jacobson. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
All right. Happy Monday. Happy 414
yes,
day.
It is.
I mean, I'm sure over the weekend you just didn't have your computer on. You weren't following the news. Nothing to report here, right?
Well, it was a little bit easier, less stressful than the previous weekend. But yeah, I was still online checking things because you never know when something's going to be announced.
Well, and even like this morning, we're hearing that the El Salvador president is meeting with President Trump about a tariff deal. So where do things stand today with the tariffs? I literally was trying to get a timeline and I could not get this all in order. What's the status?
Well, yeah, some things have been implemented, some things have been put on pause, and some things have been refined. So it's kind of like it's all over the place. I think the best way to think about it is that the United States has imposed a 10% tariff on all goods coming into the United States unless you are China, Mexico, and Canada. So Mexico and Canada, we still have that USMCA, the US-Mexico-Canada agreement, where any goods that are compliant with that, they can still come in with 0% tariffs. However, if they're not compliant with that, then they are subject to higher tariffs. And then there's China. China is, I think, the real focus of the ire of Trump in terms of the amount of tariffs. It's the 145% tariff. So there's the 20% tariff to deal with the fentanyl and immigration issue, which was from earlier in his administration back in February. But recently, there has been this escalation of tariffs as far as we're going to continue to increase that to 145%. Now, there are also product-specific tariffs. So autos, those are subject to 25% tariffs for coming into the United States. And it's possible that, at least according to the current calendar, that additional tariffs will be applied to not just the autos, but to the parts. So auto parts and items like that coming into the United States. So there are a number of things out there that almost like kind of juggling multiple balls at once.
Well, and we just saw a pause, though, on tariff for iPhones, Apple Watches, certain electronics. And then China goes ahead and retaliates by stopping the transport of rare earth minerals, which is required to make all of these things.
That's right. Well, a lot of those are made, especially with the rare earth metals component, in China or in other countries. Mm-hmm. And so on Friday, it was announced that a number of these electronic items would not be subject to the heightened tariffs. So if they come in from other countries, they can come in tariff free. But if they come from China, it's only the 20% tariff that would be applied. Markets seem to really like that. However, when I was listening to Commerce Secretary Lutnick, and then also the trade advisor Navarro over the weekend, they had suggested, well, you know, this pause, it's only temporary because you should brace for product or sector specific tariffs. And Trump even, I don't think we can call it tweeting anymore as far as whatever it is that he posted on Truth Social. And then it was carried by other news networks about saying that these semiconductor tariffs are now coming. So we have country specific tariffs and what are called sector specific tariffs as well that we have to kind of figure out.
So where are consumers going to feel this first? I mean, this isn't like the price of eggs going up to $20 or anything like that. Like, where are we going to feel this and what should we be looking for? Or is this all baked into the market and the indexes and the stock market?
Yeah, well, the equity markets are reacting favorably to the idea that there is this pause on those electronic goods. So you see that with the technology heavy NASDAQ index up more than like the more traditional kind of representative of the American economy, the Dow Jones Industrial Average. So, you know, these different indices out there point to different parts of the market. And the thing about the technology ones, that's where it probably would have been most visible first, just because of the mm-hmm. magnitude of those tariffs. What economists have found from the first Trump administration is that when tariffs are, let's say, 10% or maybe even up 25%, sometimes that's not fully passed on to consumers where you see it in the consumer price index. It's instead sometimes felt by the producers, the ones importing it. They might have to eat the cost of it. So when you get these kind of quote unquote smaller tariffs, they don't necessarily get fed through to the final buyer. But when there was something, you know, like the 145% tariff, it's almost certain that that would have been passed on to consumers almost like right away. So consumers might want to kind of check prices now and then check back in a month to see how those have changed, to see how much of that is being fed through to them.
So when it comes to Wisconsin, we are heavy manufacturing, heavy agriculture, and we've known about tariffs for a long time. In the first Trump administration, President Trump put tariffs on China, and President Biden kept those tariffs in place. I mean, this is not new. And manufacturers have had a lot of time to prepare. Granted, you can't just, you know, start up a big manufacturing facility and getting your labor up to speed and all of that can happen overnight. But are manufacturers and businesses now saying, okay, this is real, I need to figure this out? Or are they just going to kind of take a step back and say, we're going to let this kind of play out and let the dust settle?
Well, I think that one of the things coming out of the first Trump administration was the recognition by businesses about that they need to diversify those supply chains, and that the pressure on China was maybe going to be let up, but not completely removed. And so there were actually a number of businesses who decided that, you know, instead of sourcing things from China, let's do it from Vietnam, let's do it from Mexico. One of the shocking things of the current Trump administration was just the blanket tariffs on every country. So it's almost like their plan B of going from China to Mexico. Well, that really didn't play out all that well, because President Trump, he's like, well, no, I want your plan A through Z to be build in America instead. And a lot of businesses, they didn't really do that coming out of the first Trump administration. So now I think that they're scrambling to try to figure out, how do we navigate this new environment?
Yeah. And so you've got, what, 130 different countries coming to the president and saying, hey, we're going to try to negotiate a deal. So that'll be really interesting to see which tactics and which deals rise to the top and the ones that we hear about. I want to switch now to the Fed and the interest rate. This is something that we thought was going to be cut sooner, but now we're hearing that possibly in the second quarter or the second half of 2025, we're going to be seeing some of those rate cuts. Do you think this is going to happen? And do the indices point to success here?
Well, I think that the market is currently pricing in the idea that they could start cutting in June and continue cutting for the balance of the year. So the Federal Reserve, they meet 8 times a year, and they can meet between those meetings, but they have 8 scheduled meetings. And so the idea that the market is pricing in is that they'll wait until June and start cutting at a measured pace. So they've been on pause. And I think that really they would be in a decent position to start cutting at that meeting, mainly because any impact from tariffs will likely result in a temporary increase in inflation. So it might permanently raise prices, right? Imagine if there's suddenly, if we increase the sales tax from, you know, 5% to 10%, right? That's basically what's happening here. And so consumers would pay that now higher price, but that shows up as a temporary increase in inflation. So you get this change in the price level and just a pop in inflation, but then it goes away. So I think that's the way the Fed will be thinking about it. And then you have to deal with the growth effects, the time inconsistency between the growth slowdown from applying the tariffs and having to reshuffle supply chains and all that, and maybe longer term positive growth. You get the slower growth, and that, I think, by June, we will likely see if there are going to be these short-term hits to inflation and to growth, that the Fed would be in a position to start reacting, but not overreacting at that point.
Brian Jacobson, chief economist with Annex Wealth Management. You simplify this in a way that I think everybody can understand and bring it down to kind of layman's terms. So we really appreciate that. When we come back, I want to talk about the President Trump's massive package, the big beautiful bill that he's talking about getting through Congress, the Senate. We've seen some movement there. And then a recent article that you were featured in about the middle class. When we come back, it's 1019 on WTMJ. Welcome back on WTMJ. I'm Tracy Johnson, in for Steve Scafidi. Brian Jacobson, chief economist for Annex Wealth Management, joining us on the phone, talking tariffs in the first segment. Second segment here, I want to move to something that really developed over the weekend. Congress and Senate at the Capitol just passed the framework for President Trump's big, beautiful bill, a massive budget package that could include an extension of the 2017 tax cuts and new tax breaks for the middle class, like eliminating taxes on tips and Social Security income. So let's start with the middle class here, because, I mean, everybody kind of says I'm from the middle class. What does that actually mean?
Yeah. So the way that we look at it from an economic perspective is that it is really the middle 50% of Americans. So if you were to imagine, let's line everybody up from lowest income to highest income. And then when you look at the far left, so it goes from left to right, the bottom 25%, okay, that's lower class, basically. They don't call it that, but I think that's an easy way to think about it. But then you go to the next 50 percentage points of the population. That is the middle class, because the upper 25%, mm-hmm. that is called the, you know, sometimes people refer to them as upper class. But, you know, that's the economic perspective, is it's that middle 50% of Americans. But I think most people, they think about it, as you were pointing out, everybody thinks about themselves as middle class for the most part. You can have people who are in the upper 25% thinking that they have more of those cultural values mostly associated with the middle class, right? You work hard, you save hard, you obey the law, you pay your taxes. So, you know, there's the economic part. And then I think there's that more cultural definition of what middle class means.
So when it comes to the middle class and President Trump's proposals and the tax cuts, I mean, cutting Social Security income, no tax on tips, does this really help the middle class? Or are there other things that we should be looking for and talking about?
Yeah, the no tax on tips really wouldn't, because when we look at the individuals who are typically in those professions where they do receive tips, they are oftentimes in the lower 25%, not necessarily in the middle class. Or if they are in the middle class, it's usually perhaps a second job, or if it's within a household, if you have, you know, a husband and wife, maybe one of them is working part-time. So it's oftentimes part-time employed that would benefit from the no tax on tips. But the fact is, most people who are in those professions don't actually pay income taxes. They're in a tax bracket such that their net income tax is zero. They might have to pay payroll taxes, right? So the Social Security and the Medicare taxes, but not necessarily income tax. So I kind of view the no tax on tips as being one of the promises that President Trump made on the campaign trail, and it played very well in certain communities. But would it really move the needle on welfare for the individuals who are in that bracket, or as far as the revenue hit? Probably not.
So
the no tax on Social Security, that's a little bit different, though.
Yeah. Especially for the boomer, or for the boomer generation, and for even the Xers that are kind of getting into that bracket. I want to move, though, to the 2017 tax cuts that, you know, we're talking about wrapping into this package. That really does have an impact. And I think more than the extension of that, if it went away, that would
exactly.
really make an impact. And that would not only move the markets, but that would hit people's pocketbooks.
It really would. Yeah. With the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, that reduced all of the tax rates for whether you were in the top bracket or the bottom bracket, it moved them lower. And the average decline was like 2 percentage points. So if you think about it, if you're, 39.6 and it goes down to 37, or if you're at 20 and it goes down to 15, you know, these are rather significant moves. And so if the tax code as it's written, if we revert back to what things were before the 2017 tax cuts, that would be a tax increase. So it's one of those things where politicians talk about it as being, let's pass this tax cut bill, but we're not going to view it or feel it as a tax cut. It's just a continuation of what the policies have been for a long period of time. So it's not as though the tax rates would actually cut. It's relative to their scheduled increase. And so if it expires and these rates go back up, I think everybody across the board is going to feel some of that pain.
There's never a dull moment, and we'll be watching this. Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management. You have a blog, and you're always featured in Biz Times and the Business Journal. We appreciate how you break it all down for us on not only the 2017 tax bill and the extension of that, but also tariffs. So we'll have you back next time. Thank you, Brian Jacobson, Annex Wealth Management.
Thank you so much.